Everyday Life with Guardsmares, Chapter 19, Part 2.
You're set on this then, are you?
Anonymous looked apologetic. You know I owe you my position, JP. You're the reason I'm here doing this work. I can appreciate you wanting to do a favor for friends, and I want to do you a favor as well, but I just think that this has to be done. The financier pulled the cigar out of his mouth and stared at it, turning it over in his hoof.
Well,
sighing, he put it back in and chewed on it some more.
I suppose you're right. An example has to be made. I just wish it was something else.
Anonymous reached for his own water glass and picked it up. I'm sorry, JP. I want to help you out, but I can't betray Celestia's trust. After the Royal Engineer took a sip of water, JP waved dismissively with one hoof.
Oh, don't apologize for your conscience, son. The first thing in business is character, before money or anything else. Celestia's not the one who trusts you to do the right thing.
Thank you, Mr. Mustang. The regression to formality seemed to amuse the millionaire.
Oh, so now it's Mr. Mustang again. Alright. I suppose it's deserved.
Slowly getting to his hooves, he nodded at his bodyguards, who instantly formed up and opened the doors for him.
Well, as I said, I'm in Cancelette for some unrelated business and just wanted to stop in to quickly say hello.
Anonymous stood up with him. My doors are always open for you, JP. JP Mustang smiled, and they shook once again.
Likewise, son.
Yawning, the financier headed for the door.
Excuse me, but it's been a long train ride from Manhattan, and I came to you straight from the station, so I'll take my leave and let you get back to work.
Of course. It was my pleasure. With a final nod, JP Mustang left the room, his escort preceding him. After they left, Anonymous sits back down in his chair and puts one hand up to his chin. His visitor's hoofsteps echoed down the hallway as Honor quietly shut the double doors.
Well, that was a strange encounter.
The Royal Engineer seemed to be deep in thought. Even though it seemed to end amiably, JP Mustang obviously didn't get what he wanted, and saying no to a millionaire could have consequences. Finally, Anonymous snapped out of his reflections and got to his feet, so Honor spoke up.
Sir?
Yes, Corporal?
Did you know that Mr. Mustang would be visiting you this afternoon?
The Royal Engineer reached into his pocket and pulled out a small piece of white cardstock.
Yes, and he had his calling card sent to me just after he left for lunch.
So it wasn't just an ambush.
In the future, sir, you should appraise your guard detail for any such major visits.
I should? Why? Are you worried that something might go wrong?
No, sir. Something did go wrong.
Now she had his full attention.
You allowed yourself to be outnumbered.
Anonymous blinked, seeming confusedly amused by her suggestion.
Outnumbered? Corporal, it was a one-on-one conversation.
She wanted to express her frustration with his ignorance, but she kept her proper place. She was Anonymous's bodyguard, after all, not his fussy aunt.
I'm referring to his escort, sir. He brought 4 bodyguards to this meeting, and you only had 1. That's a breach of social contract.
Turning the calling card over his hands, Anonymous furrowed his brow and looked it over, then glanced up at her.
Could you elaborate on that, Corporal? My knowledge of equestrian social customs is limited.
That much was obvious. Since this was likely to come up repeatedly during her term of service, Honor decided to give him the big picture.
The right to a retinue of bodyguards and the size of that retinue is tied to a pony's social standing. A VIP with fleeting fame or a minor accomplishment under their hat, like a champion of the games, a moderately successful artist, a general or war hero, or a wealthy patrician, such as Mr. Bitsmount, is permitted to have 1 guard at a time. Most notable VIPs are granted 2 or 3, most members of the court at least have 3, but 4 at a time is the maximum escort size for any pony not wearing an actual crown.
The Royal Engineer listened attentively as she laid it all out.
A pony may employ more than that number, of course, in order for the retinue to keep reasonable shifts, and they may have as many as they like serving their own household, but when in public or with another member of society, those are the limits.
She nodded her head back at the door, glancing at it briefly, before turning her eyes back to her VIP.
Mr. Mustang isn't a member of the court, but he's wealthy and well-recognized enough to have earned the right to the full complement of 4 bodyguards. That's usually referred to as a quaternion. But you're a member of the highest advisory court to the crowns, the Privy Council. Despite Mr. Mustang's accomplishments, you therefore outrank him in society, and it's considered improper for you 2 to meet except on equal terms, or with you holding the advantage.
Anonymous held up the calling card.
But how would we know the size of his escort on a given day? There's nothing on this but his name and the requested time in the meeting.
She shrugged.
The exact number doesn't matter. The important thing is to show up with either your full retinue or at least as many as he could have. You may then dismiss your bodyguard detail as desired after he arrives. Lieutenant Violetta will be able to find out how many Sun Ponies permitted, allocations are done in formal ceremonies, and written records are kept by the Herald of the College of Arms.
The Royal Engineer smiled at her.
Alright, I understand. But then there's another problem. Even if I'd called you all down here for the meeting, there are only three of you.
Honor tilted her head slightly.
Yes, sir, there are, yet you should be eligible for four. Even the guards' quarters upstairs are set for a full quaternion.
She shrugged.
To be honest, sir, I don't know why you were only allocated the three of us. Perhaps whoever made that decision didn't think you would be conducting private meetings with the elite of Equestrian Society.
Anonymous sighed and walked over to a small card cabinet beside a set of large bookshelves.
Well, up until now, I suppose they would have been right, but that's all going to be changing with the first book entering publication.
This statement piqued her curiosity, and she craned her neck to the left to follow him into his office area.
Sir?
The Royal Engineer quickly filed away Mr. Mustang's calling card, before leaning back to look over at her.
Oh, I thought you knew. Well, come on over, and I'll show you.
Stepping away from her post, Honor joined Anonymous at the Angle's reading table in front of and perpendicular to his main bureau. He gestured at an enormous, cursive script manuscript that sat open on the bureau, its bindings loose.
This is it, Corporal Bound. The first major step in bringing about an industrial revolution to Equestria, and the sum total of my accomplishments here so far.
At his invitation, she leaned forward and skimmed the text. It seemed to be describing something referred to as a steam injector with a number of mathematical formulae describing its properties. A diagram on the opposite page showed some kind of strange plumbing apparatus.
I'm not sure what I'm looking at, sir.
Her VIP chuckled amiably.
Well, it's a lot easier if you start from the beginning.
Standing next to her, the Royal Engineer delicately flipped back through a few hundred sheets of paper to get to the title page.
Science and Industry, Part 1. Theory.
I assure you, I've written the text such that any pony should be able to understand it if they really put their mind to the job. What you see before you is the handwritten manuscript that I produced. The accepted final draft is at the publisher's, being printed and duplicated. By summer, there'll be 24 available at the Canterlot Royal Library for whoever wants them.
She looked up at Anonymous as he continued.
This is what I've been doing for the last 8 months, writing down every single scrap I know about scientific and industrial advancements in my world. It was my business back where I was from, but there's gaps in what I can recall, and the theory alone isn't enough. We need to start building the devices described in these pages, validating the theories, and establishing the rules of engineering for each of them.
Hunter turned back to the book, feeling a little more reverence for its contents. The book was easily over 1,000 pages long, and they were large pages at that, with what must have been hundreds of diagrams accompanying considerable amounts of text.
So, yes, for the most part I've been secluded in these chambers, meeting with others only occasionally, and it's only in the last month going back and forth with a publishing house and dealing with edits and revisions that can take days to be prepared that I've found the time to start socializing more. I suppose that was the impetus for assigning me an escort in the first place.
Anonymous turned around and stepped over to one of his bookshelves.
Here, it looks much nicer in the real binding.
He reached down to an enormous tome and lay down on the reading desk beside the manuscript.
This is last week's pre-production draft. There were only a few minor typesetting errors, which I've noted in the margins.
Printed on thick paper and properly case-bound with a stiff, elegantly decorated leather covering wrap, it didn't just look nicer, it looked even more impressive than the already mighty manuscript alone. And this? This was just part one? The librarians at the Royal Library must have balked at trying to find space for 24 copies on their shelves.
I have no idea, sir, but it looks fascinating.
Well, if you're interested, by all means take it with you at the end of your shift. Subject to a few rules for safety, everything in here is being published publicly for the benefit of all Equestrians, after all.
Thank you, sir. I'd like to give it a try, at least.
She reached up and opened the cover, seeing the same title page inside, accompanied with a signed note from the Royal Engineer.
Reviewed March 22nd. See corrections on page 83, 201, 204, 232, 253, 297, 302, 382, 787, 858, 923, 933, 1063, 1064, and 1172.
Closing it again, she looks back up at her VIP.
And as for your social situation, sir, I'm sure that if you ask Lieutenant Violetta for a full quaternion, pointing out today's meeting, then one will be provided for you.
The Royal Engineer shot a glance towards the lighthouse clock in the middle of the room.
Well, perhaps we might get the ball rolling immediately then. It's not even 3 o'clock yet, and the Lieutenant told me that she keeps office hours on Sundays until 3:30.
Yes, sir.
Nodding, she made her way back over to the door. After quickly checking herself in the mirror and finishing his glass of water, the Royal Engineer walked over. She opened the door, allowed him through, shut the door behind him, and then quickly trotted up so as to walk slightly in front of and to the side of her charge. As they both proceeded down the carpeted corridor towards the barracks, there was just one question that was on her mind.
Who will Lieutenant V assign as the fourth member of your Quaternion?
So far, Honor had a hyperactive war hero unicorn anti-air cannon, an armored Pegasus with plenty of skill but still a bit wet behind the ears, and herself, a veteran war soldier who was feeling disenchanted with her career choice in the Royal Guard. But she had to admit that disenchantment had been seriously challenged by the last 2 days. It seemed she wouldn't be protecting a paper-pushing bureaucrat after all. Hopefully the fourth member would have plenty of experience with formal society. Honor could really use some pony who could help discreetly guide her fish-out-of-water VIP through Equestrian customs. Right now, it was really just Glamour Spear and herself who understood Canterlot society. Sparkshower was a fast learner, but she just didn't know what was going on. A soldier from a respectable Canterlot family with good breeding and an effortless grace in public society, that's what Anonymous needed. She would send a message to Lieutenant Violetta after her shift to make sure that it happened. Then the next meeting with JP Mustang wouldn't see her being metaphorically shoved aside by the Tycoon's armored bellhops. I'm sure the fourth and final one of his guard is going to be absolutely brilliant. Hell, she might even know more about Canterlot than all three of them combined. But let's get on to our brilliant donators. Top donators: TacoCat598, Peter Coltard, Jayton Man, Darkseid, Gauntlet, and Only One Thing. Zar630, Strix, Raiden, Narwhals, Black Moonheart, Drake Lovedragon, Pastel Skies, Austin Rowland, CrazyKiller557, Stu Hex, Dospo, Madman Stan, Delta Omega, Jack Hedge, RuneScythe9852, Leslie Prickett, Hunter Norman, Stephen Bingham, LineGuy12, and many more amazing people. Thank you all very much for watching this video, and live life to the fullest.